Island is not the only place that we could potentially go. And it puts us in a little bit of a catch-22 situation, because oftentimes we're told, as in this case, this isn't the right time to bring it up, but when we bring it up later, we are told, you should have brought it up before. You missed your opportunity. We're not the only ones that think it's really important to look at Vancouver as an option. The 1999 process to annex Hayden Island failed in part because of the port's failure to really take a hard look at that. And it wasn't just Audubon Society of Portland that was raising that issue. The other organization was really pushing the need for that and the importance of that, both from an economic and from an environmental perspective, was the Business Journal of Portland. And they did multiple editorials. And when the process was canceled in 1999, the commitment was to really explore that opportunity. That still hasn't happened, and I think that's very unfortunate. And I think it undermines public confidence that these kinds of things aren't put out in the record, because people should know the different options that are available. There's a bigger issue at play here on this as well, and that is, you know, people assume that Goal 9 requires us to keep a supply of industrial lands. It does, but it also says something else. It has to be consistent with the carrying capacity of the air, land, and water of the region. And that's a clause that has been perpetually ignored. We're a landlocked city, we're running out of land. Sooner or later, we're gonna be out of land, and we're gonna have to think outside the box and outside the city boundaries. And we're gonna have to look at the region and ports up and down the Columbia Corridor to become more efficient, more effective, and intensify their land use. You know, it's not an exaggeration to say that if we continue on the path of saying that we only can develop, we need to perpetually expand, that we're going to start to really undermine other values, and we already are. It's the reason that we couldn't implement the tree code on industrial lands. It's the reason, in part, that River Plan is now in court. It's the reason that we're going to irreplaceable green fields like West Hayden Island because we're not thinking about this in a broader context. Goal 9 does actually require that, and so we would urge you to keep that in there. It's not to say that that is going to be the alternative, but at least let's keep it in the record and keep it in front of people. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so please call the roll, Carly.
Fritz. Well, thank you, staff, for all of your hard work on this project. The mayor last week brought in the 6 inches or more of documentation, and it's very thorough, and I particularly appreciate Tom Armstrong's work in working with the Metro Policy Advisory Committee and with me on this project as well. And you've done a good job in reconciling the facts and arriving at a foundation record for the purposes of meeting our obligation with the state's periodic review. I do concur with Bob Salinger's comments regarding looking at the bigger picture. I think that can and should be part of the next task moving forward. The actual policy development is still to come and will be refined through this work on the upcoming periodic review tasks. So Goal 9 does receive a lot of attention, and I'm going to restate what Bob just said, that its requirements need to be consistent with the carrying capacity of the air, land, and water. And we must balance economic development goals with all other goals for housing, for open space, for recreational, educational, and commercial needs. We have a finite amount of land in the city of Portland, and we're not making any more of it. So we need to make sure that we use the current land efficiently and that we will move towards a balancing and a true decision-making protocol so that we consider all different aspects of the situation. We don't have numerical standards for how much environmentally protected land we have to have, for example. So when you're looking at the 20-year capacity for industrial, you need to remember that and also remember that we do have requirements to preserve fish and wildlife and habitat. We're confronting a lot of different issues in our region about congested streets and freeways and parking and loading zones and other commercial uses, and all these things have to be balanced. Simply cramming things in will have its limits, and we may be reaching some of those. So the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, the city, metro, and the state need to work towards developing comprehensive plan policies and legislation that addresses our unique situation, being a city with a finite land base. And we should ask Metro and the state to define some refinements to the statewide land use policies, recognizing this challenge that's specific to us. 40% of our workforce comes from other locations in the metro area, and we're a regional economy. We need to act like one and develop policies that collaborate rather than compete. And I will be asking the staff to continue working at Metro so that we continue to push for a more regional approach and indeed regional funding. because we absolutely need to fund the infrastructure that will make better use of our current lands. We need to fund the cleanup of the brownfields, which will then restore industrial land to truly good use. And we also need to make sure that we look at our environmental land supply, which is also finite. And we need to develop a decision-making model that helps us evaluate how much to protect and how for the restoration, for mitigation, for protection and development. And it's not just in the city of Portland. We know from looking at the Superfund and from looking at the natural resources damage assessment on the Willamette that, and looking at all of the influences of the Columbia and the upcoming treaty negotiations, we've got to look at the whole ecosystem and where is the most valuable environmental land, the shallow water habitat, and some of the resources that need to be included if we're looking at comprehensive plan policies. So we will need to look at how to fund all of these issues as well as how to set the policies, and I hope I am involved in that. Again, thank you to the Citizen Advisory Committee, to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, Susan Anderson, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability Director, and Mayor Adams for his partnership and his leadership in looking at these huge challenges which are essential to making sure that Portland stays and becomes an even better place. Aye.
Fish?
Thank you, Joe and Tom and the whole team. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and all the other people who have assisted in putting together these supporting studies. They're a very crucial underpinning of our moving forward with a new comp plan. So good work. Aye. So the supporting studies are adopted, and we move on to item 1111, second reading, vote only.
Assess benefited properties for sidewalk and stormwater improvements in the Southeast Water Avenue and Yamhill Street Local Improvement District. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, the item is adopted. And then we move to our last item, 1112, second reading, vote only.
Authorize revenue bonds in the Southeast Water Avenue relocation and the Clinton to the River multi-use path projects. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye. Okay, the item's adopted. We stand adjourned until 2 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.